podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. Now, a slightly strange one because we're actually recording it together for the first time, me and Chris. Woo! It's quite nice actually. We're actually just snuggled up on his sofa under
not
blankets.
Hugging.
No, it's got to be, spooning.
Don't get worried, everyone.
No, it's all right. And we're just, we're actually just at lunch. At the moment, that is currently. By the way, I love your time checks you've been doing. Really been liking those. Really been liking that. So it's actually 2:28 for those who are interested. It is AM. That's quite sickening, actually. However, it's nice just sort of sitting, chilling, watching the cricket. Wow, there's an advert just come on TV for a product that we have previously endorsed on this podcast.
One of the funnier products we've endorsed.
Yeah, it's good actually. It's good. Just go back and listen to all the previous ones. You'll definitely
you'll
know
guess
what we're on
it.
About.
Yeah.
Chris, been really enjoying your work podcast, mate. Actually, how have the events been? Because I've been really jealous when you've been sending me the clips through. The atmosphere sounds good. Some interesting, cool, funky people you've managed to get chatting to.
You're selling it well. Yeah. Some really cool, funky, interesting people.
Yeah, but it sounds like really. Mate, I'm tired. This is kicking in. Was it good though? Good fun?
Absolutely outstanding. Yeah, I think it's just been great. Obviously, we're not there. We're not able to get the Barmy Army there, although the Brisbane Barmies are doing a fantastic job. It's just been great to have everyone in the same room, like-minded fans that would ordinarily be up all night on the sofa watching it. And staying engaged and being able to get everyone in the same room, first off in London at Greenwood, was wonderful. A real buzz to get the start of the Ashes. And then yesterday in Manchester, a slightly different audience, but again, everyone seemed to have an absolute belting time, even if the cricket wasn't so good. So it's been really fun and that we're still going tonight. I've been benched tonight by the Barmy Army staff team. They're down there at Greenwood having a ball, by all accounts, with Mr. Gladstone Small doing the Q&A. So things are going well, by all accounts, and we'll be back down there tomorrow enjoying the festivities for hopefully a famous English battle day.
Yeah, you know what? It's quite nice actually watching on BT Sports coverage. I was obviously abroad elsewhere for the first couple of pods, and it was, you know what, it's actually been really good. And just a little reminder, not an advert, just, you know, 25 quid, like a quid a day. In fact, actually, we're watching it now in the lunch break. There's a Barmy Army bloke wearing a Barmy Army hat.
Oh, it's brilliant.
On the Zoom
call. Soper super fan.
Right, this is good. This
you
is
know,
good.
Just to pull you up on something, you said you'd been really jealous of watching me at all of our events. However, just for the listenership, a certain James Gregg has been away with his other hobby, which is one that involves hitting a ball again, but a much smaller ball.
Yeah, and a stationary ball as well,
so much easier sport. And he's been in America watching his friend play at a very high level, and he might have played with a certain Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Well, if that would be slightly telling a fib, but he actually played through our group. We were playing too slow, so which was quite embarrassing, but yeah, he was quite cool. I did ask him what he thought about the Ashes, and he thought that England were going to win.
Did he say we are the army?
He said he loves Paul Burnham, and yeah.
That's it, you heard it here first. Michael Jordan is in the Barmy Army.
That's right, listen to the pod, you know. We should get him on. We'll get him on. Ask him about his trainers and stuff. Jesus, we're talking some right nonsense. I shall do another time check for those who care.
Very sorry to everyone listening to this.
I know. You know what? We're going to move on. We've actually got a couple of belted guests on the podcast. It is 2:32 a.m. now. And we've got Gladstone Small, who's been the guest. You've already mentioned him at Greenwood Sports Bar tonight, and Ash's winner himself. He's having a little chat to producer Chuck on the pod as well, who's stepping in to have a chat with him tonight. Good work. And also, I mean, as we record this, we've not spoken to this couple yet, but so we may or may not hear from them. However, the married couple, you may have seen this. There was a proposal, a Barmy Army proposal in the stands at the Gabba. Fantastic. Bit of a story behind it. They went on their date 5 years ago at, where was it?
The MCG, yeah. The first date was at the MCG. I hope that's right. I've been told that on a WhatsApp by a friend of a friend who's in Brisbane at the moment. But apparently, they went on their first date to the MCG 5 years ago to the Ashes. She's an Aussie. And he's an English bloke. He's in the Barmy Army. So what a legend. Alex Hale, I believe his name is. Look forward to hopefully chatting to him later if we can get hold of him. He might be kind of 10 pints deep now on a bit of a mad one with his now fiance, because they're quite rightly celebrating. So it'd be great to hear from them if we can.
Yeah, it will be. And if not, well, we've told you the story anyway. There we go. Now, Chris, tomorrow night,
yes.
Or tonight, should I say, really, whatever it's going to be. We've got another event on, right? Sold out, Greenwood Sports Bar, once again, got Ryan Sidebottom there. Our concern, if we're going to be completely honest, was that, you know, it might not be the best day for the lads. Unconditional support, of course. We're hoping very
Absolutely.
Much that the lads come back through. We've got to back them as well. At the moment, we're speaking the 23 for non at lunch. I think it's looking good, isn't it, for that event?
Yeah, I think it is. Watching Burns and Hamid survive to lunch on, on day three was promising, more promising than the first inning. So it's really good to see the lads digging in, and I'm hopeful we'll get a full event in. And hopefully it'd be lovely to see this game go to day five and it to be a real contest and give us some real faith in the second test at Adelaide, where you know things are. Might change a little bit. Look, the Aussies have been formidable in this, how they've played, how they've bowled. They've been relentless with the line of lengths, and they've batted incredibly well. Travis Head obviously took the game away from us a little bit, but it'd be great to see a spirited fight back now. And I completely and utterly believe in the lads as well.
Yeah, likewise. Up the lads. Come on. Hopefully we'll stick in another good news pod out for you. A couple more from this test match, hopefully, to bring you on The Shackles Are Off. All the fun and games to come. And now it's back to Spoon and Chris. So take a listen to the rest of the pod.
It's producer Chuck here. You're on the Shackles Are Off podcast. You're at the Barmy Army overnight party. How's it going, Gladstone?
Well, I've come to have get a bit of quiet space.
Yeah, pretty rowdy.
Away from the noise. I mean, they're making a lot of racket for what's the time? What, 2 o'clock, half one or so?
A
little
bit past your bedtime. I
normally have my cocoa Horlicks in bed and slippers is normally for me.
Are you a watcher back in bed?
I have watched. I mean, in the
video. Are we talking TMS or?
Well, no, I love. I can't stand this Australian commentary. They're a bit precious. So trying to sync it with the TMS commentary. I actually quite like that. I like listening to the radio. Anyway, yeah. Because the radio guys give you a bit, the talk as well as the cricket. They're very informative and they're full of all the stats and obviously all the stories. They do, the likes of they do it well. TMS.
Oh, you can't beat
so
it.
I am a fan of TMS. So.
Have you ever been on yourself?
Just the odd interview here and there.
Let's take it back. You're an Ashes winner. Tell me about that. Am I right in saying you got picked quite last minute for the fourth test, was it?
Yeah,
what's
yes.
What's the story behind that? There's a little bit of a story. Come on. Enlighten the listeners.
Well, it's long time ago.
Yeah.
Before you were born, I would say, chap.
Maybe.
Just a few years. But no, listen, it was obviously I was 86, 87. Mike Gatting's team won the look, two to play. MCG Boxing Day, which is, you know, it was sort of place. If you, you know, if you got to play one, if you want to play, got to play one test match. It's not a bad place to play. Stuff, it, you know, in, yeah, front, in front of, at that time, about, I don't know, about 70,000 still, yeah, drunk Australian fans and stuff.
Until we're winning.
The Barmy Army weren't, the Barmy Army weren't quite in vogue then, so it was a bit before then. But it was a brilliant atmosphere to play in, and yeah, I got. I mean, I was a youngster on that tour, having a good tour. Luckily, at that stage, we were able to play as well as the test matches. You play the tour games in between,
nice, yeah, yeah,
in between all the first class. So I was able to keep myself in the groove and enjoyed playing. I always loved playing in Australia. And Graham Dilley got injured half an hour before the test match. So I got Mike Gatton on going to toss the coin, said, "Hey, Stoney, you're in." So I didn't have time to get nervous or anything like that. So,
nice.
But listen, it was a day akin to that. It's not dissimilar to like yesterday at the first day at the Gabba, whereby the pitch at the MCG was green. Melbourne, the weather's always a bit iffy, and it so yeah, Gat asked the Aussies to bat, and so it was a good toss to good place to bowl, and I. And I got lucky. I got five, and the big man, Ian.
He got five.
He got five as well. But my five are all, you know, genuine five. Caught slip, caught keeper, ball off stump. You know, his five have caught. They were all caught fine leg or third man on. But hey, they're five Australian batsmen that he was keeping up. That's for sure.
My dad will be a very jealous man. He was a big fan of yours. He's watching, and he informs me you took the winning catch. Is that right?
We played well, had a good game, batted. We bowled the Aussies out, then batted, and
yeah,
day three had a lead. And my old mate, a good pal of mine, a big ugly Australian Merv Hughes, who liked to. He had one shot, was a leg side hike. and Phil Edmonds, the bowler, left arm spin bowler, just set the field, put me in a spot, took a catch, and I was standing right over the spot where he told me to stand.
Happy day.
So I threw the ball into the crowd, and some dog in Melbourne has been showing it for the last 35 years, I think.
I just said to you up there, I was saying how a lot of our Barmy Army out in Brisbane at the moment getting a lot of stick, and you just said that is typical Australians. So tell me, oh hang on, Burns has just scored a four. Go on. Tell me, what's the worst bit of chat you've heard from an Aussie? Was it like that in the 80s as well? Like, has this been a long-standing thing? I'm sure it has.
Listen,
but give me some examples.
You've heard them. There's nothing new. It's just.
It never is. That's the problem.
You're playing in someone's backyard.
It's gonna be your last tour.
You're not gonna expect a nice. You know, hello, good morning, Mr. Small. It's not like that. They're gonna let you know you're in for a battle. So that's the way it's always been, and it will be as long as England Ashes. You know, when they come here, even now, I'm sure over the years the Barmy Army, that you've repaired them, their players in time. But listen, it's all generally it's very generally friendly stuff. And it's just all, yeah, some of it's funny. Sometimes you don't really hear it. There's a lot of noise. You're concentrating on your job. And quite frankly, you hear the odd bit now and again. But when you're out there, it's just a lot of noise, quite frankly.
Fair play. Fast forward a bit. You told me up there, this is your first time you haven't been down under for an Ashes tour. Firstly, how's that? And also, what are your thoughts? Been a tricky first couple of days. Where can we bring it back? Is there any hope for the boys?
Of course there's hope.
Love
it's
that.
Okay. I mean, of course. And the players, and listen, the guys, the team will know that. They know that there hasn't been a good start. Anytime you only get under 150 runs in a first innings of a test match, you're behind the eight ball, and you're going to have to need a lot of luck, which unfortunately you didn't get. I thought the guys in the England, the batters, yeah, didn't get there. Bit of a strange one, to be honest, batting first on that on a pitch that
green top.
If I was in that team, I'm looking at that pitch, I'd be licking my lips and strapping my boots on to have a go on that pitch on day one. But that wasn't the case. Aussies took advantage of it, a good ball in the tap. And I thought England ball with the guys ball, we are Wood, Walks, Ollie Robinson, and obviously a Ben Stokes still nursing his way back into the game. I thought they bowled really well for the first two sessions in the Aussies' first innings. Very unlucky. Beat the bat. Could have obviously won. I got escape one with the no ball.
If that was
out, England could have easily bowled Australia out for on the 200, and then it would be game over.
It's just
how the luck goes in sport. In life, like as in life, you need a bit of luck.
Yeah.
And the luck hasn't been with England. So they've just got to try, and it's a position that, not a position you want to be in, 300 runs down. But I remember being in a test match in Brisbane some years ago in a similar situation, and I think it was Strauss and Trott and those guys put on a lot of runs. So these guys, and this pitch now, the Dabba pitch, now it's lost its green.
Yeah.
It will still do a bit, particularly the new ball. But these guys will know if they get through to lunch this session, get over the new ball, and get the Aussie bowlers, don't give them anything. Make sure they have to toil and work, and then things might start swinging our way.
Like that. Positive. Positive.
I can think of it. These guys have got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we shall see. You touched on it a bit earlier. I forgot what I was going to say. I've had a beer.
It is 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's 20 minutes too. Glad you're doing a Q&A in 20 minutes. I hope you're bright. No,
actually, you should play this one. Yeah. Play this one, and I'll sit at the bar. And I'll sit at the bar and have a beer.
Yeah. That was what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, Barmy Army went around back in the 80s. What was it like back then in terms of England support? Did you have much vocal sort of support when you're back down under
there? No, not really. Obviously, you had the locals, the English people who had obviously moved to Australia and settled there. But there wasn't a travelling support like we normally would get there.
Yeah.
We, you know, a couple of thousand people, or mixed, not just the Barmy Army. I've obviously been. I do travel myself. I'm involved in a travel business, and so the likes of all the companies that do it. So there's a lot there, and so that's not happening this year. With what we're going through in the pandemic and all that sort of stuff, the Aussies have obviously not allowing anyone, not even allowing their own people into the country. Far less more a bunch of English supporters. Well, that's unfortunate. It's the first time I haven't been there. I've only missed one Ashes tour since 1982. I was playing Proud Cricket in Melbourne in 82. So I was Bob Willis, England captain. At the time, my club captain at Warwickshire, and I used to have to go train with the guys when they came to Melbourne. So I got to see firsthand back even before.
Did that give you the taste for it?
Absolutely. You got to see what playing a test match environment was like, and the tension, the pressure, the excitement, the passion that involves, particularly in the England Australia test match. So I saw that firsthand. Before I played, then I played there 4 years. 4 years later, I played on the Boxing Day Test match. So it was great to actually see that, and then obviously get to experience it. It gave me a bit of a taste for it. That's for sure.
Nice.
But like I said, I haven't missed. This is my second national series I'm missing in 40 years. I didn't go in 94, 95. I missed that Ashes series. That one. And this one is the only two series I've missed in 40 years. So, but hey, I'll be tuning in.
Nice.
You know, early hours. If I was, I'll be at home, and I'm here. I tend to fall asleep during the lunch break. After listening to the Aussie commentators. I tend to fall asleep.
What do you do at 2 a.m. for 40 minutes?
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Exactly. Just final for me predictions for the series. What's going to happen?
Well, listen, with the guys, we're going to have to bat really well and long and deep to get out of this one. But they can do it. The pitch should be good, so it'd be great to get away. Hopefully, you never know the Brisbane weather might come in again. One out of the afternoon thunderstorms that tend to happen over there. But it's going to be a tough one to to get out of here, this one, with the series to a level. But then they've got to pick themselves up with the next test match. Obviously, the pink ball test, which hopefully might get our borders.
Jimmy and Brodie in. Yeah.
Well, they'd be well rested, that's for sure. they haven't done much with it. So, yeah, listen, the England team, they'll know this is a good Australian team, but they're batting it. Labuschagne, he looks a fine player. But Aussie batting, I would fancy Bourne to this lot. I don't really, yeah.
They've got
nothing. They've got nothing much that will scare you. We just got to get runs on the board. They've got to bat and bat first much better than they did. They've got to get first innings runs on the board. And that's the key. Always the key. The wickets are good, generally. So if you don't score runs in Australia, you're going to come on stuck. You get in 200, 250, 280. Not enough. You've got to get 380, 450 in Australia. Then, and Aussies, this bat with their batting, if we can get good scores, I think their batting isn't that good.
Frail. Gladdy, Ashes winner, legend. Thanks for coming on. Top man. Names, please, fellas.
Oh, I'm Hal.
This is Hal Hornby and Nico. How are you doing?
Are you pals?
We're good pals, yeah.
Quite good pals.
What are you doing down here?
We're just down here for a good time. Probably 10 of the mates, yeah, back in the boys.
Got some good wickets, got some good bites in.
Lovely stuff.
See what's going on.
Yeah, good free burger.
Have you been on the first two nights? Is this your first night up all night?
This is our first night up all night.
The first three overs of the first night, and then I decided it was time to call it a day.
The first night I was out, and I came back to a disastrous, gutting performance.
What do you reckon? We pulling it back or...?
It's actually in the balance.
I think we need a bit of brain stop play. A couple of sessions.
Hopefully, you know, Haseeb can pull in for the draw.
And what's
a 2.5 day batting performance.
Yeah, what's on the menu for tomorrow for you boys?
Back at work at 12.
12?
Oh, yeah, I started 9 actually.
9?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
No, I'm working from home though, so it's going to be...
WFH,
have the phone on ringer, but you know, go to bed at 12.
Log in at 8:30.
Say
you there. Yeah, you're in the
books. Send a couple of emails, log in and then, you know.
And yeah, fake Zoom
profile. Back
here
tomorrow night?
We'll take it sold out.
We'll try it, we'll see what happens.
But you might be able to get in with the same ticket.
No, we'll not say that. Shush!
Cheers, fellas, nice one. James, 2:38 a.m. is going to be a famous time for you. First victim of the night, you fell asleep.
I did fall asleep, yeah.
Talk me through it.
I said I was going to have a little kip at the lunch break.
It was a man of his word.
I didn't even make the lunch break. I have to say, those sofa chairs at the front are comfy, and what can I say? A little bit of nibble off the seam and I was gone.
And what's the plan for the rest of the day? Is there any more scheduled kips?
I found some slightly less comfortable chairs. Hopefully I can hold
out the back.
Hopefully I can hold out to the bacon butties at 5 p.m, but... You know, I'll try and survive. I think the aim of the game is survive at the moment. Yeah. And
what's the nutrition plan? What's going in and out?
Nutrition plan? Tough question that. you know, we'll see how it goes.
Espresso martinis might
keep
get an EM in
you. Yeah, coffees might be going down. So, back might take a bit of a hit. Budget might take a bit of a hit, but you know, I don't want to be 2 from 2 on the story.
There we go.
Great work from Chuck out there at the Greenwood Sports Bar with all the punters. By the way, if you've not seen it on the socials, it looks absolutely brilliant fun. Looks like so much fun. I'm now speaking to you some hours later, after the close of play. England only 2 wickets down, and Rooty and David Milan have played an absolute blinder. Love it. Love it. See, me and Chris were right. And everybody who supported and everybody who's part of the Barmy Army or not, or just listening along to the podcast, who believed, well, good on you. That's what we need to keep doing all the way through this series. Keep rescued themselves back into the game, haven't they? So this is great. Anyway, we shall hopefully be back with you tomorrow with a good news podcast. We'll be with you with a podcast anyway. We've got Ryan Sidebottom as our guest. I'll be at the Greenwood Sports Bar, and I cannot wait to bring you day 4. Thanks for listening to day 3, and we'll talk again soon.
Social Podcast Network.